Good morning. Today is Monday, August.
First.
I want to report a missing month.
Where did that sucker go?
Oh, boy. 231st day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Boy, you guys have been busy the last little bit, huh?
Chimney Christmas.
We'll talk about that. Oh, you found a quote?
I did.
Cool. Did you, like,
circle it or something?
No. Say which one it was here?
Yeah, the shortest one.
The shortest one. Okay, that would be up here?
How about that one?
Well, they're the same, so it's a push. Okay, H.G. Wells. Moral indignation. Thank you.
It's early.
Moral indignation is jealousy with a halo. Yeah, no kidding. Been dealing with a couple attitudes, eh?
Thought that one was pretty appropriate.
Yeah, thank you. I'm outraged, by the way. I want to let you know.
I see the halo.
Yeah.
Glowing brightly over St. Brian's.
Yeah. Dad. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't think there is one of those.
Yeah.
Either the halo or the saint.
Halo, wait a second. Let me tuck my wings back in.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Has it been extraordinarily busy the last couple of weeks? Listening to the news, it's like grim, and grimmer.
Well, that's
just the activity. I know it's the time of the year.
It's the news. But it has been busy. I mean, I tweeted it out last week. In one very short span of time, about an hour long, we had a shooting, another report of shots fired, an occupied stolen car where the woman whose car it was fighting with the person who stole her car, and a bank robbery. Now, that's all in our tiny little city.
That's not countywide.
No, that's just in the city.
Yeah.
And so, when you look at our staffing model, we don't have that many people working. So, at some point you got to make a decision. Okay, which one of these are we not going to respond to? And
who was the short straw?
No, we got them all done. Pulled detectives out of the office. I went out.
Okay. Really? You know how to turn on the siren?
No.
Okay.
I drove safely getting there. But I had to find my bulletproof vest and get out in the field.
Oh. Yeah. In one sense, good. I mean, you don't want to lose contact to the street. You wouldn't want your detectives to lose it. On the other hand, it would have been nice if this was planned.
Yeah.
Instead of
yeah, we don't get to plan that kind of stuff. But you know, it's good for me to remember, and it's easy to not remember what these young men and women do daily. They get out there and they're in the mix every single day, and they're in the heat of it. And I tell you, this has been a tough couple months for policing.
And, I asked Cy that because he's kind of doing the fair circuit for the CHP, and he said that it's kind of starting to swing back now, and everybody's sharing the love a little bit, too. So while, there's been some challenge, there's also been a lot of confirmation that, we're not out there alone, and people do like what we're doing, and maybe it's not just the squeaky wheel that represents the entire community.
Absolutely. And I know for sure that as we see it, I was standing in Ramon yesterday, and a guy walked up and gave two cards to two police officers from Arcata. Gift cards.
Oh, Arcata cops. Yeah. Fine. Okay. Different tier there.
We get them all.
It's 8:19.
We get them every day.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with our shrinking violet, Andy Mills.
Yes.
Oh, boy. With all the stuff that's going on nationally and regionally and in the state, has the attention changed, or is it just being reported now as things are going on, either through traditional or through social medias?
That's a good question, Brian, and it has not changed. It's been pretty consistent for many years, both in terms of the use of force, the deaths associated with use of force, and then also the deaths of police. While overall the deaths of police have been down the last few years, it's spiked dramatically this year.
Yeah, boy, did you guys jinx that one.
Yeah, I know. And it's terrible. But I think there are several reasons it's down since the 70s and 80s, and that is because the greater use of body armor, and also medical advances. So one of the reasons the homicide rate has been down is because if you get people to it, our fabulous medical staff, very often they live.
It's not the shootings are down necessarily. It's
exactly. So now, or the threats or the violence and so forth. But now, this last year, it has spiked dramatically. I think police homicides of the police are up 70-some%.
You're kind of a historian in law enforcement. Have there been
other? You saying I'm ancient?
I'm saying that you have a unique way of spending your off time. Have there been these sniper shootings of cops? I don't seem to remember those. Now, I don't go back too far. Have there been periods of American history where that has occurred? In the Wild West, yeah, okay, the sheriffs and, you know, Marshal mm-hmm. Matt and all that stuff. But more recent than that?
Yeah, in the 60s, we had a couple of periods where there were, you know, violence against the police at a little bit grander scale, where, you know, guys would get shot at. But they were pretty ineffective, and they were pretty pretty scarce in terms of how often and so forth. Where this has become a much more probable threat.
It's different.
It's very different.
Yeah.
And it feels different. And I think one of the things is that really has to take place is the media and the politicians in particular have to reduce the rhetoric. They've got to stop talking about about stuff without presenting at least some facts. And that's what bothers me. And I'll give you a perfect example. The shooting in Minnesota. Does it look ugly? Yes. Where the guy supposedly had a gun in the car and the woman videotaped it on Facebook. Does it look ugly? Yeah, it sure does. But within hours of this coming out, you have the lieutenant governor, I believe, of the state of Minnesota saying that this was terrible, it was a murder, et cetera, et cetera. How could you possibly know that until you look at least a little bit of the evidence? And, this rush to judgment is terrible. And here's the difference. Policing has witnessed this and has observed this collision for the past multiple decades. And now, because of social media, because of Facebook, because of live streaming and so forth, the public has now seen it. And there are some things that need to be cleaned up on the police side. There have been some terrible shootings. And when those take place, prosecute them. But let the justice system take its course. And rather than trying these officers in the media.
Months before the trial. If there is a trial, like the Baltimore situation where,
when they charged
the grand jury, decided not to.
Yeah, I'm a legal expert. When they charged those, I thought, wow, that's an overreach. Why would you charge six guys with this?
If not for political reasons,
yeah, and one who wasn't even there at the scene. I mean, how do you charge him? And so a lot in policing looked at that and said, man, that doesn't make any sense. Why not charge him with something less and to make sure that you charge it appropriately rather than that overreach.
The time compression, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about, the information time compression. There was in the past a cry for information. Now, is the cry any less, or do you need to almost have more people on the, not PR side, but
public information side.
Yeah, I guess the PIO side, to get things out quicker so that the flame doesn't get as bright before real information is out, rather than a slice of information.
Yeah, one of the things I talk consistently about with Brian and Steve, my captains, and Michelle, my records and civilian captain as well, and my Brittany, my PIO, is let's try to stay in front of these problems and these issues so that we can keep the public informed. Because I think when the public says they're being transparent, I'm willing to wait for some of this information, because you're just not going to get all the information instantaneously. We don't have all that information instantaneously. So, I know that makes common sense to many of us, but for some it doesn't. But I think we do need to be more transparent, more thorough, more open.
But how can you be thorough and still get the information out sooner?
I think that there are ways to do that. It's a balancing act, certainly, but people have to be a little bit patient.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, some of the different things that are going on, Sime was here Thursday and said he's getting support. He really is getting support from a lot of folks. Before the break, you'd said that, at least in Arcata.
Yeah.
And then the Me Too.
Yeah.
Do you sense that even though there's the tensions nationally, and perhaps some of those that have self-anointed monitors locally are kind of, you deal with that, but that the groundswell is there from the regular guy and the regular gal who are saying, attaboy, way to go, thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, the Arcata thing was just an anecdotal story to say that there's a great deal of support. And when we asked the community to help send our officers back to Dallas, and we needed a couple thousand bucks to do that, 7,000 came in less than a day. And,
kind of puts you on your heels, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I can't think of a more supportive, generous community than Eurekans. And it wasn't just Eurekans, by the way. Other people came over and gave money. Because I think as Eureka goes, so goes the county. And so, it's really important to keep Eureka running well and motivated and inspired to do great policing. So it truly is amazing. And I know my guys are regularly saying that, they can't buy a cup of coffee certain places. And, people will step up and pay for it anonymously or dinners and whatnot. So it's truly amazing into how wonderful and supportive this community is.
If you hadn't had such turnover,
yeah,
it'd be easier to recognize the guys, because at least I would know who they are.
Yeah, well, we've had a bunch of that.
It is kind of an intriguing, I have a different perspective and a different venue with this show. But, I drive by and there goes a badge. I'm looking and say, okay, has he been on the show? Well, okay. Trying to recognize, right. Is this one of the new guys?
Right.
Or is this one of the folks that have been around for a little bit?
Yeah.
It's got to be cool. I mean, it's tough, the triggering mechanisms, but it's still got to be cool to have this, because you knew it was there, but it just wasn't coming to the forefront.
Yeah, policing over, my four decades goes through swings. And you saw this in San Diego, where you get a couple cops, killed at one time. And, the outpouring is immense. And then somebody will do something stupid, and it goes back down for a while, and that pendulum swings back and forth. And but I think that overall, the average community member, regardless of their political persuasion or experience, supports the police in every community. Communities of color, communities of businesses, it doesn't matter. Almost everybody supports the police. You do have a vocal minority. You know, when I wrote that op-ed piece on, a lady walks up to me at an event and says, you know, I don't like how you wrote that piece. And I said, okay, well, you know, what didn't you like? And she goes, you said that only blue lives matter. I said no such thing. I said, did you actually read it? She goes, well, no. I said, because I said black lives matter immensely, and including the historical context which that occurs. And she goes, well, I think I find you disgusting. I said, well, thank you very much, and I'll tuck that in the back of my mind. Have a great day. And she kind of followed me around a little bit, wanting to, you know, have her, say, yeah. But the point is, one out of a billion people, I'll take the billion. But I need to listen to the one also.
You came from San Diego.
Yeah.
There was a situation last week.
Yeah.
Didn't get an awful lot of exposure in the national news, but it happened.
Yeah.
Is this as it was presented? Was there a little bit more to it? And the reason I'm asking, not only because you might have been there, but the other ones we hear about are either cops doing their duty,
mm-hmm.
or cops not behaving right.
Yeah.
Didn't hear either of those with the San Diego story. It was just, here's another one. And it was kind of like, you know, more on the scale.
Yeah, you know, that happened Thursday night, a little bit after 10:30. I got a call at 11:02. From my daughter, her husband, Kelly, as part of that GST team, gang suppression team. This is the 1% of cops in that department who people work their whole careers to get there. These folks are immensely talented officers and detectives. They work in teams of six, so they'll go into a neighborhood with six officers.
So it's kind of like Drug Task Force.
Yeah.
For our area as a reference?
Yeah, but more from, there's two sections to this group, and there's 70 personnel there all together, and you've got detective side, and you've got patrol side. Patrol side is proactive. They have no radio call responsibility. Their only job is to go out and find gang members and put them in jail and take guns from them, do fourth waiver searches. You know, there's a variety of things.
So it's more than just being a gang member. It's gang member doing something.
Well, a gang member doing crime.
Yeah.
Well, you can't be classified as a gang member unless the intent is to do criminal activity.
Oh.
They were out working as a team in Shelltown, which is a heavy gang neighborhood. And they're there all the time. They've had foot pursuits there. They get guns there regularly. And JD and Irwin put out that they were going to go down and stop. And then Kelly and Aziz, his partner, were on a stop a block away and hear, you know, a gunfight. And so they just dropped what they were doing, go over there. And Kelly and Aziz found JD and Irwin both wounded. And, you know, so you have all these dynamics going on. You know, is somebody else, you know, were they sniped? Were they, am I in the line of fire here? So Kelly drug JD out of the car behind cover and started doing CPR, and they just decided that they couldn't wait for medical transport, so they threw him in the patrol car and rushed both of them to the hospital, and JD obviously expired, and Irwin's going to make it. And it's a terrible thing. I mean, it's tough enough to watch your loved one go out to work and recognize that, you know, they're putting on a vest and a gun for a reason. But then when you get these incidents around the country, it just kind of keeps that tension in the forefront of your mind. And it's just a relentless stressor for families. It's not just the men and the women. It's the partners, the mates, the parents, and so forth. So when you get these things, it's just, you know, it's awful.
Yeah. Obviously, the department has to deal with it differently. You, by extension, I mean, you know, you got family involved, so that's different. But let's say like the Dallas, or pick one of these that's away and there's no intimate connection other than blue. How do you get the guys and the gals to either not overreact or to be so hypersensitive that it throws them off, I hesitate to say their game, but let's say off their game?
I think that's a very good question, and it's tough to keep people on track and in their game, because I don't want people to overreact with the average person. But at the same time, I want them to be vigilant when they're, you know, keeping their head on a swivel and covering each other. So I sent out an email to our department saying, you know, we're not really kind of sure what's going on nationwide. We don't think we're going to have these problems here. But one thing we know, this is a violent city of Washington guns. So keep your head on a swivel, cover each other. And so we want our folks to make sure that they're protecting one another first and foremost. Because if they don't go home, we don't have a whole lot here.
KINS, News and Information Time, 844. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48, just a couple of moments left with Chief Andy. Before the break, you teed up the last segment. Thank you very much. Violent city awash with guns.
Yeah.
More words, please.
We have, when you look at the per capita crime rate in terms of violence here in Eureka and in Humboldt County in general, we are a violent community. If you take a look at it and compare it with other communities our size and other parts of our state. And so murders, to have 15 murders in a county of 130,000 is way out of proportion. And those are the murders that we know about. What's up buried up on Murder Mountain that we don't know about? Now, normally with murders, you normally find a body sooner or later, including weapons and you know, we see a great deal of weapons. I mean, for a city our size, to get as many guns as we do is really inappropriate.
The traditional argument had been because we're a county seat, because there are surrounding areas that double the population, if you did it to a 50,000 pop, we're more normal. Fair?
Closer to normal, but we're still above.
Well, hey, thanks for that
perky
little way to end the show, man.
A little bit of reality.
See everybody tomorrow.